Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Welcome to another extremely exciting episode. This time, we're going to be working on the FA Cup and Champions League Cup and Carabao Cup edition of the EPL Three Beards Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, with your other host, Arsenal fan Ken Lee, and special guest, James Lewis. How are we doing today, Ken?
Fantastic.
And we bring City James on. City James, how are you today, sir?
Doing great, not a care in the world.
So I'll give a little background on James. He has been a City fan since, like, was it like 02?
99.
Ooh, that's ridiculous. 99. That's ridiculous. All I do know is that there were I tried to go back as far as I could remember you being a City fan, and I was trying to pick out your favorite players. I could only go back to Steven Ireland, so, and that's like, what's that, like 04?
It's Richard Dunn, so, by far.
The Og King Richard Dunn. Who was your favorite City player in like the 99 to 03 range when they were just miserable?
Well, the miserable range went a lot further than that.
Yes, I know.
But my favorite player in that time, I mean, you know, Paul Dickoff, let's say.
Mr. Paul Dickoff. For the name alone.
Phenomenal for the name alone. Paul Dickoff. Jeez. I have no idea who that is. I have no idea who that is.
He's a real player.
He's a real player. So we have the evolution of a City fan from more than 20 years. There was a time period like in 06, 07 when the heat was really on for you, and you and I would argue in these long emails about City and United. Mainly you would argue against United because at the time City didn't have that much going for them except to get like a Dieter Handman goal in like the 88th minute of the Derby matches that were like your big match
Darius
every
Vassell.
Year.
Yeah. Didi Haman, yeah.
Darius Vassell, that is so bad.
Shawnee, right.
And then in comes the money, in comes Robinho getting off the wrong plane, ends up in City when he thought he was going to United, and you had what you like to call the beanie days.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, Adebayor comes over from Arsenal, and an ugly, ugly divorce, Ken.
Greatest goal ever scored.
Well, there was a lot of ugly divorces, Arsenal to Man City.
That's very true. That is very true. The money starts coming in, and before you can buy a whole team, I feel like, when you're coming from mid-table to borderline relegation teams, to buy a whole team, you have to buy that middle tier of crap first. And, like, that was that period of... Robinho wasn't crap, but he was, like, not wanted by the top four... So we'll end up here, and he ends up...
Only United.
Hey, stop it. So he ends up at City, and they end up getting this wave of these wave of players that are, I don't know, I think they're forgettable, James. Not really winners, but there's one player that sticks out and really changed everything, and that would be...
Samir Nasri.
No. Samir Nasri. We'll talk about Samir Nasri. the purchase of Sergio Aguero, what year was that, Ken, James? Is that like 09?
Yeah, I don't actually remember the year.
Jeez,
but I would say it was
a
handful. I would say it was a handful of players, and it would, you know, Aguero for sure, but
Company?
Zabaleta, they all came in around that time.
Yeah, but Aguero was the five-star talent that came in with a five-star attitude. And I think that he kind of changed things. Company fits in the exact same realm, although it took him a couple years, James, to settle.
Yeah, we tried to play him as a D-mid at first.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah. To mixed success.
Yeah, but you were also pairing him up with Julian Lescott, so... I don't know if that was a good thing or not. Then you did the smart thing and you started rating Arsenal. And then actually the Samir Nasri thing, we were making fun of it, but that was kind of when the top four challenge came in, is when Samir Nasri came in with a couple other players and you guys started to put together.
Well, yeah, they rated Arsenal and, you know, with half of an Arsenal squad won the league the next season. I mean, it's management. It's management.
Somehow, yeah, and somehow got them to perform to their ability.
Well, actually just kept them healthy.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, keep them healthy and manage them in a proper way.
Yeah. You
know, the players aren't bad. It's something in the back end.
Yeah, well, we're going to, as you can tell, we're going to spend a little bit of time on City, having a huge run of cup matches here from City. We have the FA Cup match they had this week. We have the Champions League match that they had and have. And then we have what I think is actually an important Carabao Cup. I mean, a lot of people downplay the Carabao Cup, but Ken, you and I have been talking about this a lot. How much would Liverpool like a Carabao Cup right now?
Of course.
How much would Tottenham like that?
How much would Arsenal love a Carabao Cup right now?
Yeah, so...
Oh, to me, it's much more important than the FA Cup. I don't really rate that competition.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah, so we'll get right into it. The FA Cup earlier in the week, we'll get that out of the way. So starting this week, we have Manchester City sitting a clean, 15 points ahead of the league? 12 points? I mean, we stopped watching.
Yeah.
But it the bottom line is, with their 19, 20 matches, one in a row, City, a commanding lead over the table. They sit It's 16. Oh, my God. It is 16. A ridiculous 16 points clear.
Still 9 matches left.
In the Prem. In the Prem. So, I mean, you have to say that they have the league pretty much wrapped up. And going into the season, James, going into the season, to say that you were going to be 16 points clear, essentially win the title at Old Trafford, and basically have one of the greatest seasons in Prem history, even with 9 games left, you'd have to say as a City fan that, would this be acceptable, ecstatic?
Yeah, I'd take it.
You take it. So,
I mean, I would be overjoyed, but not surprised, because I've been a Pep believer from day one.
That's true. So that's another thing. So Pep comes in, he replaces Pellegrini mid-season without actually replacing him. They announce him in the mid-season while City is competing on all fronts. City immediately plummets on all fronts, ends up in third? Was it third the year before he came?
Fourth.
Wow, yeah, fourth. Drops out of all competitions and proceeds to compete at nothing. And then next year, that would be the last year, Pep comes in. He's got all his formations. He's got his Barcelona style. He's got all that. And the team underperforms again, mainly because of the back end. He then proceeds to spend, I think it's £450 million over the 2 years. I mean, he spent half of that before last season. And then last year, this offseason, he replaces all of his defenders, essentially. And basically buys a player for each position in the role that they're supposed to play, i.e. Kyle Walker, a wing back that can get all the way forward and get all the way back, and completes his recipe for extreme attacking football, and that is what leads him to a 16-point lead with 9 matches left. James, I have to ask, how do you feel about the haters that go on to say that you bought your team?
Well, I mean, you know, can't deny that we spent money to get the goods. But at the same time, what I think a lot of people don't get or choose to ignore is that it was really the mismanagement of player contracts and recruitment under Pellegrini's reign that led to having to replace 17 players that left.
That's an interesting idea.
Over the course of,
yeah,
that from the end of Pellegrini's time through the first year in Guardiola's reign, 17 players left our team, first team.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and almost all of them have been chosen, have been proven after the fact of leaving to have been either finished or just not good. You had what, Bakery Sanya? You had who's the other outside back? I think that was French.
Kolarov, Clichy.
Oh, Clichy. That's what I'm thinking of. Another more, some more Arsenal there.
I think it's a little harsh on Sanya. I think he's just, you know, a little old. Same thing with Zabaleta. I mean, their legs go, and in Pep's system,
they can't.
The fullbacks need to be able to run the entire game up and down the whole field.
So he replaces his fullbacks, three of them, to a commanding transfer fees each, sitting between 30 and 50 million. But we find out the next season why he replaced them. And you find out also why he immediately replaced Joe Hart, as Joe Hart has proven himself to be, I mean, he's just done, James. He's
worst
just done.
And we had an argument about that at the time, Tom.
We did.
Because you would make fun of me for supporting Pep and getting rid of Joe Hart.
I made fun of you because Joe Hart was the only English player that had, like, tenure on the team. And I was like, you're taking a guy who previously he had, I think he might have won Golden Gloves one year.
I think he had won it, if not two.
Yeah, one of the years you guys won the title, I think with Mancini, you guys won a title with Mancini. Yeah, that was the first one. He won the title with Mancini. He was excellent, mainly at blocking shots. He still had some Calamity Joe moments, but where he was just an English goalkeeper. But, you know, I thought his hands were strong and they needed somebody at the back, and was actually proven right throughout last season, as Omar Bravo proved to be not a shot stopper.
Claudio Bravo, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Claudio Bravo proved to be not any kind of shot stopper at all. His save percentage was like 60% last year. He was a huge reason you guys finished in third. And even this weekend, watching him in the FA Cup, I thought he could have done better. But I mean, in comes Ederson, who is a real live goalkeeper. He can play with his feet.
With neck tats.
Huge. That's huge, I think, especially when you're talking in the Prem. Being able to establish yourself, neck tats can go a long way. Mm-hmm. But Ederson comes in as an actual goalkeeper who can save things. I don't think that I would put him in the top four of goalkeepers, which you and I, I'm sure, would argue about. But I think that he is, all they needed was somebody who didn't suck. And that's what they got. And they'll still allow their goals, and Ederson will still allow goals. But it doesn't matter because they corrected the problem of their outside wingbacks, and Pep now has a full-out press attacking system. Ken, you and I were talking about the attacking system. You were making points about essentially Pep has gone from having an open back door to still having an open back door. You saw that this with the FA Cup, but everybody's afraid to attack them.
Oh, I truly believe the defense of City is weak, but I believe the defense of a lot of English clubs are weak. It's just cities have been the least exposed because there's such an attacking threat that people, i.e. clubs in the league, are just too scared to try them on the defense. But when you look back, every single team that has pushed them and attacked them, a lot of them have scored goals. They have a very high goals against for the amount of chances against them.
For the amount of chances, because overall they
That's what I'm saying, for the chances. Yeah. Overall they don't. I think it's the one time where numbers absolutely do lie in terms of that defense is not as good as the stats on the surface will show.
If I may, I think it's it's all in perception, you know? I mean, I'd rather a team, you know, the shots that we give up, barring a few mistakes, I mean, they are very good goals. And usually when you see them, it's because we've stuck to our game plan and tried to play out from behind. Mm-hmm. Maybe we shouldn't have. And we make a mistake and a goal is scored, or someone hits a wonder shot and scores a goal. We only have 20 goals against, and that may be a high portion of shots, but I'd rather that than teams peppering our goal constantly and our goalie having to make fantastic saves to keep us in games like at De Gea.
I think
I absolutely agree with that. I'm just making the point of, I think that if there is one weak point of that team, it is absolutely the back four.
Yes.
And not as good as the stats will show, I don't think.
And I think that's why Joe Hart would fail in the system in the end. Under Mancini, he was protected. You know, it was De Jong sitting in front of a solid back four.
Forgot about De'Jong. Love De'Jong.
That would never happen in a Pep system, and so Joe Hart just didn't have the protection he needed.
Yeah, that's the Jose Mourinho way, right? I mean, you sit four, you get your four defenders, and then, I mean, Jose Mourinho half the time has two defensive midfielders in front too, and has very stringent defenses with maybe defenders that aren't that talented or aren't overly talented. But still, we were discussing this before.
James, does he do this to you too? When you guys talk alone, constantly bring up only the positive aspects of Manchester United yes. while single-handedly forgetting that the team is just not good enough to compete on any level at this moment?
Yeah, of course.
Does he do that? Oh my God.
First of all, my friend, we are competing on multiple levels.
You never hear him talk about United in a negative way. Even when they get stomped, it's for some other reason. It's like Jose Mourinho is a disease, and it's gone on to the fans. They don't even believe that they lose. They don't even believe they lose. There's some extra like factor involved.
I've had this disease before.
You know, Ken, let me tell you, Tom was setting it up like we were going to be like at each other's throats here, but I gotta say, I couldn't agree with you more.
I hate both of you, and I will move towards a preview of the Carabao Cup so that you will end up at each other's throats. Don't worry, we'll get there.
Classic Mal deflection.
I just wanted to get into the defense a little bit and then bring up the point, which is something Dr. Pete and I were discussing earlier in the week, and then Ken again. So City has this defense, and they have this offense. Their offense is amazing, and I think built perfectly. That system, the idea of attacking all the time is built perfectly for league play because you might lose one time to Crystal Palace 1-0 when you're barraging them with shots. They might sneak a goal in, you might lose 1-0, but at the same time you're going to smash Watford, Huddersfield, you're going to beat those teams 4-0 because they show up in a shell and they don't show up at all really. So that is a perfect way to win the league. However, when it comes up against teams that have offenses that are elite, Real Madrid, PSG, obviously those two teams won't be in it. Only one of them will survive. Barcelona, some of the more high-octane offenses. I think that City can't compete in the Champions League while they have a back door that is this wide open. You can't have that. You're too open to the counter. So I'll hand it off to James first.
I was going to say, you know, it's an evolution, and you saw it in the first season from Pep. It wasn't the complete idea. But this season we see that he's addressed a lot. Some of it's through player acquisition, but some of it's through changing the system to suit what he sees out there.
Yeah.
We're not a finished article yet, and that is what should scare everybody else, because there's only more to come from Pep.
Ken?
I guess I more have a question on the back four itself. Let's stay with the defense. Do you feel, as a fan, try to be as in the middle as possible, does that back four currently standing in the back four in another system on another team, let's say within the top 10, do those four defenders start for other teams in a different system?
Ken, name your four defenders just because.
No, for Man City, Stones.
Otamendi?
Kyle Walker, Otamendi, and
is Danilo
James,
starting?
You know more of their names.
Is Danilo starting right now? Right
back, Kyle. No, Delph has been our left back.
But okay. Delph's been the left back,
say,
but
let's just say Mendy because he's
yeah. Let's go with those four. Like, do they play on any other team competing at a level outside of the current system that's being employed by Pep? Because I'm of the belief that me, you, Tom, and Tyler could play defense and not do much worse.
Well, you know, maybe you have a point. Maybe if we reel back the years a little bit, we could do a job. But Mendy, I mean,
look, and obviously, I mean that to be funny, but you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah. But you know, it's like there's two different arguments. One argument is that City had to pay so much for their back line, right? Well, the reason we had to pay so much for them isn't because they're nobodies and we're City. It's because we're City, but it's also because these are talented players that are sought after. Mendy, everyone was talking about Mendy at Monaco.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not like he's a nobody. Stones was, you know, he was going to be the best defender ever, and then he was crap, and then we bought him, and he was overpriced, and then last year he was great, and now he's been doing good again, you know? Laporte, people have been following him. I mean, he's a talent. He's a talent that we we balked for his release clause, but any team would be happy to have him. And he was a standout performer in La Liga. I mean,
Tom will tell you, I never complain about the money being spent on players. I do not care about the money being spent on players.
Surprisingly true.
I know, I've listened on the previous podcast. Yeah, I mean, I think the issue arises because this is such a new and revolutionary system. It's different than what any other team plays, outside of maybe Barcelona and like Bayern, what they adapted into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for players to get used to, and they're constantly under attack.
Yeah, they're. I think just to sum up the whole defensive argument, in between individuals, I think there is talent there for sure. I think Kyle Walker is a talent. And it does fit himself within the top three right backs in the world. Mendy looked like it. I mean, he blew his knee out, I guess, in, what was it, October?
Yeah.
James, so he looked like it. Whether or not the system is facilitating them, I think if it is, then it's good on Pep, because that's the point.
Oh, exactly right. Definitely. Like, Pep's done something that no one's been able to James's point. Bringing in that outside of England mentality that you can absolutely attack more than you defend and not play this boring style and win the league and win it in epic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never believed that Pep would be able to do what he's doing now. Never. Like, before this year, this kind of style was not in the minds of anyone that follows the Prem.
No.
And it's just going to be one of these things where, like, the clubs around City, i.e. anyone in the top eight, are going to have to figure it out. And if they're learning anything, they have 9 games now to figure out how to make this not happen again next season.
Yeah, and I
think it's just a matter of figuring out the tactical, nuanceical weaknesses within City, because there's weaknesses in everything. You can have the best players, but the best players have proven to not really win everything all the time. It's all about a systematic, a scheme, and a tactic that's going to win it. And maybe Pep is just what everyone said in this lore before he came here, like that he's just a genius, and this is just going to be the new way for a meaningful amount of time. I guess time will tell, but I don't like City, but it's exciting to watch for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pep's already had a hand in changing a lot of the way the game is played, and I mean during his time at Barcelona, I mean that was revolutionary stuff, and he changed the system to go to Bayern. It was different the way they played there. And it's different at City. So, I mean, he's constantly evolving, and next year will be different too. So,
I think what Pep has done here is, me and Tom were talking about this a long, long time ago, is now he's actually shown that he's a manager. Before Barcelona and Bayern Munich, he could have gone in there. He didn't have to do anything, really. Just sit down, put on a nice athletic suit, and just win by December.
He's actually gone away from the athletic suits, though.
He's done that in England.
College dorm
clothing
now.
Well, yeah,
when
you're at the top of your game, I mean, no one's coming at you.
Yeah, that's right.
Except for haters like me and you.
Yeah, that's right. Just the haters.
Yeah, and I think it's more of a kudos to Pep and the rest of the City defense that we're playing with Delph at left back.
Yep.
Who would have thought he would even feature in the team, let alone be the starting left back in a team that is running away with the league with 9 games left.
I remember thinking that, and it was like the 5th game he had started, and I was like, what the heck? Delph is starting, and he's been starting for half the season?
Yeah, I didn't notice him until he made a mistake in the Man United game, and then they were like, well, actually, he's been playing well.
Yeah, and Zinchenko came in when Delph got hurt, and Zinchenko is like a left-winger, you know, young player that we bought to develop. Nowhere did he ever think he'd be playing left back for any team anywhere.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let's move on from making out with Pep, and we'll move towards the defensive frailties and moving towards these big pivotal games this week, which will define the legacy of this season, not Pep Guardiola, but this season, this City team, which has been ridiculous in the league. You now have the FA Cup they have been eliminated from. They lost 1-0. I have some questions about the 1-0 loss. It was a typical cup match loss where City was dominating the game. They did pick up a red card in, what was it, like the 45th minute or so. They picked up a red card. And that changes the game. That happens in games. And that's why their 19-20 game win streak is ridiculous, because those things happen and you lose those games. But City, they got, I won't call it luck, during that 19 or 20 games. Just like we said before, Ken, they were pressing teams to get those 4 or 5 goals after the 82nd minute. I mean, it's not like they didn't deserve it. It's just you usually don't get them all the time. And in this case, City didn't get the luck. They got a red card that was... It was a red. I mean, even Pep said it was a red.
Yeah,
although
it was
red. Although visitors, Wigan manager, lost his mind. Him and Pep are scrapping. I thought it was really interesting, Ken, that Pep, when they were losing, and they lose this game 1-0 on a ball that goes through that Kyle Walker, he basically dummies because he thinks John Stones is coming over to cover it. And right. The Wigan striker runs through and beats Omar Bravo. Claudio Bravo. God, I keep going with Omar Bravo.
Because
there's an Omar Bravo. That's why. He beats Claudio Bravo, which everybody's done. I mean, but the bottom line to me in this game was very interesting is that City kind of lost their minds. It's not the first time they've done it. They did it at United. They were very much provoked, but they went ape. And Guardiola goes crazy. Aguero, I mean, I think Aguero should be off the hook because the fans ran onto the field at him. But
the fan ran onto the field, spit in his ear, and screamed obscenities at him.
Yeah.
And touched him before Aguero even did anything.
Touched him.
All Aguero did was shove him back.
On the field, yeah. I don't think Aguero should have any problems. But Guardiola was scrapping with the Wigan management and scrapping with all kinds of people, like yelling around the tunnel. It was very interesting to me. And then after the game, he said, "Congratulations, Wigan, you had one shot on goal."
That's a shot. That is a quote taken out of context, and I'm surprised at you, Tom.
I am reading.
I am very surprised that you are going with this sensationalist headline that does not take the full context of the quote.
Okay.
Maybe I shouldn't be surprised.
You shouldn't be surprised for one thing. And for two, it was the leading quote on multiple publications that I follow. So you can explain the quote for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a classic quote taken out of context. They asked him what happened. He said, and he just basically laid it out. Look, we had 83% possession. We had 28 shots on goal.
Yeah.
Wigan had one shot on goal, and it was a goal. They scored. We didn't. And Wigan won. Congratulations to them.
It just, within the context of an actual, like,
when you're being asked, when you're being asked leading questions, when you're being asked leading questions to get a soundbite, what was it Cantona said? He said, "Seagulls follow around the trash trawler because they think they'll find some sardines in the river," or something like that.
Fair enough, fair enough. So City loses 1-0 here, and they are out of the FA Cup. Earlier in the year, Pep Guardiola played down this idea of winning all the cups, that being the FA Cup, the League Cup, the Champions League, and
it's good management for days like this.
Played it down. They are now out of the FA Cup. So now we have to ask, what are they in? And, of course, they're in the Carabao Cup this weekend, Sunday at 11:30. They play Arsenal. And to me, I think all these cup finals are big now just because of the feeling that Liverpool fans, Tottenham fans, even City fans last year, United fans this year possibly, not getting a chance at silverware. Silverware makes such a big difference in the locker room, such a big difference even more so in the fans and how they perceive the team. So I have to ask, how important, James, first, is it for City to win this cup?
Yeah, it's important. It's important for any team. That's why they compete in the cup. It's the most prestigious cup competition in England. I've said it many times before.
The exact
I would second that. I'd second that this season.
The exact
The
opposite.
FA Cup is a prestigious list title. And
has no meaning.
In 2017-2018 season, I mean, were they even playing for it?
Is it because they changed the sponsor from the Carling Cup to the Carabao Cup? Is that what changed the prestige level? Because I don't know what Carabao
didn't hurt.
Is. I think Carabao's beer.
It's
I don't
got
know.
This mystique about it. Oh, what's that? It's so exotic.
It's a weirdly spelled word that nobody knows how to pronounce.
I think it's beer. Is it beer?
I thought it was an energy drink.
Is it an energy drink?
I thought it was an animal.
An energy drink.
Yes, it is also an animal.
That's I don't know.
Caribou.
I mean, who knows what it is? Who knows what it is?
I don't know. I typed in Carabao just to figure
out. Thus, the basis of its whole appeal.
It's an energy drink. It's an energy drink. But it absolutely has a special mystique to it. And then for Arsenal fans, obviously, they go from a stretch of, I believe it was 8 years without any cups. And boy, did you take a beating during that time, Ken. Without any cups. To back-to-back seasons of FA Cup. And now an opportunity at the Carabao Cup. So, Ken, how
important
is it for you?
Well, what Arsenal is going to do Sunday at 11:30 is transfer the level of prestige that we have brought to the FA Cup, brought that to the forefront of the world as the most meaningful cup that you can win as a club. We're transferring that to the Carabao Cup. And on Sunday, I plan on doubling up my hardware for the year. Add this to my beautiful community shield.
Yeah. Okay.
Because when you're Arsenal, every championship matters. Every cup matters. Every cup has value, and it means something when your club is managed by what I feel is a legendary manager who has just simply lost not the will to win, just the need to win. It's just not there now. So if we win this game, I think that it could propel us into, from what I spoke about 3 weeks ago as not caring about it, and now I absolutely care about it, the European Cup. That is my gold right now.
Yeah, that's right.
The Carabao Cup can push us in. If we lift that cup up, we'll remember what it was like to lift that community shield, how great it felt. We'll visualize us going all the way to the final and winning the European Cup and then getting in a Champions League.
Bring prestige then to the Champions League.
And then the Champions League will once again be prestigious. Because everyone knows, without Arsenal, it doesn't matter.
James, I will allow you to retort to that absurd point.
What can I say? He's right. It's the most prestigious cup competition around. It's important. To be serious, it is important that we win it because of what happened against Wigan.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
But also because if we don't, it's going to be another stick for the media to beat Pep with. Yeah. Because they're the ones that created the, mm-hmm. you know, this, oh, City are going to win the quadruple. Yep. You know, it's going to, and if we don't, it's a failure.
Yeah, I would agree. That's why I started this out with asking
has more implications into the season. Like, let's just say City, for whatever it's worth, they go 6 days and they get knocked out of two cups, which arguably, I mean, if City's in it, they're the favorite to win. I don't think anyone would say that they're not. If City's on the pitch, they're most likely the favorite team to win against most teams at this point in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were to get knocked out of two cups in the span of 1 week, if you're any other club in England, the media is pouring disaster all over you. Clubs in crisis, the manager's being fired, mm-hmm. players are going to be sold, players are already coming in, the rumor mill starts. Could that be enough to potentially make... I do think a 16-point gap is too far to touch, but does it make a little bit of intrigue for the last final stretch of the season? Like, can City go on and, like... I'm just more curious to see them lose, to see how Pep and the boys bring it back. They show their grit a little bit. They haven't had to show anything like that this season, so it'd be nice to see them in a place of need.
I think we've shown it a little bit, but you're right, mainly. We've gotten those lucky bounces, or we've pulled through games and kept, had a winning streak going, right? But I think we did have that loss against Liverpool, and I think a lot of people thought, okay, here it comes, they're gonna fall down now, and we bounced right back up and kept smashing teams,
Yeah.
I think going out of one cup competition at this point, it actually relieves a little bit of pressure from that quadruple talk,
mm-hmm.
but it makes this next match, which is a cup final, even more important, because I think you're right. If we go out of two now, then it's, I don't think anyone would think it was a crisis where Pep's going to end up fired, right? That's ridiculous. Not. But it is kind of a crisis of confidence where it really matters, which is in the Champions League now, because we've got the league basically sewn up.
Okay, good point to bring up. How long can Manchester City go? More importantly, Manchester City's been here for a long time. They'll be here way after Pep leaves. They were here before. How long does Pep Guardiola have to win a Champions League before all the stuff that he's doing in the league is just, you're supposed to win the league. We didn't give you We don't give you 200 million pounds a season just win the league.
The Bayern mentality.
You are going to win the Champions League, and if you don't, we don't care who you are fired. How long do you think he has?
I think we're a ways off from that, to be honest.
I do too.
I think I think the target now is to year after year be in the semis.
Yeah, I think so too. That's the only thing.
No, I completely agree with that. I was just wondering where.
That's the only thing I could see really bringing a problem on is if, say, they had a rough stretch against Basel, but they're already up 4-0 against Basel. So they're going to get into the round of 16, and then they'll get into the round of 8. I mean, that is where, if they get eliminated between now and the semis, I do think that's a big deal, but definitely not big enough to fire Pep over.
I mean, in this season, it's probably, it's still a big deal, I think, but it's maybe less of a big deal. But I think going forward, I think the idea has to be you win the league and eventually you win the Champions League. I mean, we could win it this year. Who knows? I mean, on any given day, it could happen.
Yeah.
We could also get beat 5-0 by Basel on the return leg. I mean, that could happen too, you know?
Yeah, it could happen. Well, you're both have...
I'll be watching.
You both have sales experience in the past, and I do too, and I kind of equate it to... Ken, you'll be very familiar with this. When you blow it out, like your sales records for a year, you crush it, and then
they...
leave. And then they... Yeah, then they move...
Yeah, you gotta get out of there.
They move all your goals up, and Ken, you know from the company you're in, it's an intelligent move to... move in between different sides of sales to change your goals and to reset your goals every like 2 years. That's an effective strategy. Otherwise, if you get caught up in your own expectations, it can actually sink you, which is, you know, what we're talking about with Pep. I agree with you guys that it's not this year. Even if they were to lose to Basel, Pep would not get fired.
No, I completely agree. I just wanted to get a true City fan's opinion because, I mean, you got to start thinking a lot of these, City's going to be, I can foresee in the next couple of years, going to be that club to where when you don't bring everything or you're not at least in the final of everything, we don't want anything to do with you. We want someone else. We want the next fresh piece of meat to come in here and overhaul the club and get us where we want to be.
We'll see. They have shown that mentality in the past, and it's easy right now with City flying high, but that's why we're talking about City this week, because of it being such a pivotal time for them over the next, this cup match coming up. Are they going to be that club that can have those expectations to be in every final and to make it through the Champions League, or are they going to show that they have an open back door, Pep's system has a huge flaw, and that, yeah, they're going to win the league, but the flaw is too big to ignore when it comes to playing teams with elite offenses.
Well, that's where I would say the only time, and James might have a different opinion, but this might be the only time where I do think that the money being spent does matter. Mm-hmm. Because ownership and boards, however your club is run, the owners and whoever's writing those checks are not going to continuously write checks with a manager in charge that they don't feel like is going to bring them what they feel is necessary return. So City is setting themselves up to be just like the rest of the European elite, maybe because of no other reason than they simply have the funds and the resources to do so.
Yeah, I'll let James, we'll let you finish it up. We've spent a lot of time on City. I think it was due, but I'll give James the last word here. Anything you want to add?
I'll just say the main reason Pep was brought in, and it was to win, but it was to revolutionize the club from top to bottom. And that's what his real work has been and will continue to be. Winning cups and winning leagues is important. And he absolutely has to win the league, and we have to be in finals as well. But what his lasting legacy is going to be is not the trophies won, but it's going to be the transformation of Manchester City into a perennial powerhouse.
Yeah, taking the funds and making them not just a team that buys things, but also you talk about revolutionize from the ground up. I know they spend a ton of money on the back end that a lot of people don't talk about between their academy, which we can talk about that another day on the actual amount of time those players get, but the academy and basically it being Pep Guardiola's dream right now, And who's that general manager they have? I can't pronounce his name.
Cheeky Bergeristain. Last name might be wrong.
I can't handle that. So, but him coming from Barcelona and having worked with Pep before, the two of them making City into a team that in the next 50 years can dominate the European landscape the way that, you know, Liverpool has, Arsenal has, Manchester United has, Tottenham really hasn't yet. They have their ups and downs. But to get in with the Juventus and the Real Madrids and et cetera, and that's his big dream, and that is the goal, as you said before.
The reason they brought Cheeky in to be the general manager, and the reason they brought Pep in is to emulate what Barcelona did, just straight up.
Simple. So, all right, James. Well, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. We're long overdue for a City pod, and appreciate everything you had to say. Prediction for Sunday:
3-0 City.
3-0. Jesus. Disrespectful. It's been nice talking with you, James.
All right.
If I don't get to talk to you again, congratulations on the season. My condolences for your Carabao Cup loss.
All right, James. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
We will move on to the next match that I thought was interesting, Ken. The Chelsea versus Barcelona match that was today, actually, as it is a Tuesday. We have Chelsea 1, Barcelona 1, and you have to say that Chelsea showed a lot of mettle here, Ken. I thought that they would get eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can come away and take a draw in the Champions League, I mean, against a powerhouse club where, like, no one was giving them a shot to be, you know, in it. You leave 1-1, I mean, you're going home as the favorite to make it through. So I think it's a pretty big shock of the Champions League knockout stages so far.
Yeah, I mean, they were... Where was this game?
I thought it wasn't at Barcelona, wasn't it? I think it was at Barca.
No. Why do I not know this?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll look at it in a second here.
No, it was home to Chelsea.
Yeah, I thought it was Stamford Bridge. It was home. Bridge.
What am I thinking?
I don't know. Oh, I could have sworn it was Stamford Bridge.
But I feel like I do that a lot.
You do. But this is... But you know, you could argue that Chelsea...
So reverse my statement. Barcelona will still make it through.
Yeah, I think they will, but you have to be impressed because, you know, Barcelona had a majority of the ball, like these teams do. But you have to say that the, you know, Willian hits the post twice in this game. Both, and then scores finally in the same way. It's like they weren't really marking Willian today. Willian with an explosive play in this one, and you have to be impressed with Conte's system, though. I thought he did a really good job negating Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can get away with a draw, I mean, against a Barcelona squad coming in that wants to win the Champions League. I mean, obviously, I'm sure Chelsea does too. It's just Barcelona seems to be a little bit more of a realistic pick, and you can leave 1-1. Granted, you know, Barcelona was 1-1. I mean, I think you'd rather have a 0-0 at that point. But
yeah,
you know,
that's
either way.
That's,
I mean,
that's better for a home match in the Champions League.
Either way, I mean, now you go away to where now a 0-0 draw at Barcelona is not any good.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely still behind the eight ball a little bit because of the one away goal. And one of the things that when United was making Champions League finals, one of the big things they used to do is just win 1-0 and just get that one goal and then shut them down. People talk about Sir Alex Ferguson's attacking all the time. They like to glorify it, myself included. But the truth of the matter is, when he was getting into finals, you know, like when they won the Champions League, it was Paul Scholes scores one goal against Barcelona at Camp Nou from like 25 yards out, bangs it in the top corner. It's not like they attacked the whole game. Like, Ryan Giggs scores a free kick against Lyon, I think it was. While they were setting up their wall, the referee let him take a free kick, and the goalie wasn't ready. And it was a goal, and it was 1-0.
I'm like, telling you, Tom, eventually I'm going to have to just stop you from the... You like to reminisce about the good old days of Manchester United too much. You're the exact reason, and I can't say this enough. You are the reason that Manchester United will forever be a mediocre club going forward.
It is just my base of knowledge for 1-0 wins in the Champions League, which is the point here. Which is the point here. A 1-0 win is what you want. And it's another thing that...
The people who listen to this podcast are lucky. They only have to hear it once a week. I got to hear it like 5 or 6 days a week. You reminiscing about days of old and how great it used to be. And
I'm sorry.
How great we still are.
Did you want me to talk about Jose Mourinho's Inter?
I want you to talk about Barcelona 1 away to Chelsea's 1. And the fact that at least Morata got a yellow card today because...
What time did Morata get on the field?
He didn't do anything else.
What time did he get on the field?
I don't even know.
I think it was the 82nd minute.
He did nothing per usual.
Boy, he's really just falling off the map.
Him and Lacazette, maybe they should just switch spots. Switch teams for a little while.
Give it another chance. You know, Lacazette, I was looking at the struggling strikers that we talked about in like November, which was the three new strikers, Lukaku, Lacazette, and Morata. And Lacazette's definitely leading in the struggles.
Oh, he's the worst. He's absolute worst.
But Morata, I think Lacazette is actually plays okay in the run of play, but he doesn't score, which is unacceptable, obviously. I think Morata doesn't even do that anymore. And
no, Morata, he just takes up space.
And Lukaku is, not quietly, but he scored his 20th goal in all competitions. He's on his way to 25-goal haul, 30-goal haul, which would be, you know, it'd be worth the investment. Yeah, that's worth the investment.
Lacazette hasn't scored since December.
Yeah, and Morata, I don't remember the last time he scored either, and he's played poorly, and he looks bad.
Did you see all the people coming out, like, the last couple of days saying that Wenger and Arsenal should have sold Lacazette and kept Giroud?
Hey, you know I'm kind of a fan of Giroud.
The argument being that at least Giroud comes on as a sub and scores a goal.
Yeah, he's clinical off the bench, but he's not... Giroud was never clinical as a starter for some reason. He just wasn't.
Yeah. It's going to be a while before I get over that sale. But, you know, let's not change topics too quickly.
All right. Well, we'll keep with the Champions League. We said before that City's already up 4-0 on Basel. They're through. Tottenham-Juventus game was awesome, Ken. Really good game. But really, also, to me, indicative of possibly the toppling of this Juventus Champions League domination, where they were in like 3 of 5 finals or something like that.
Well, there's only one way to go when you get to the heights of Juventus over the last 5 or 6 years. It's down. Yeah. And it's not like it's down. I mean, it's not like Tottenham is some scrub that, you know, is just going in and got unlucky with a Juventus draw. I mean, they made it through fantastic group play, through a very difficult group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
sure,
they deserve every right to be there. And based on the play of that game, I mean, Tottenham, I mean, you kind of wish as a, like, just a fan of the Prem, like for me, because my team's not in the Champions League, it's like the one time where I will sit down and say, all right, I hope all the English clubs win.
Yeah.
Just because you have to show face as a league that we matter and that we are strong enough, not only in the toughest league in the entire world,
mm-hmm,
week in, week out, we can now take that Saturday, Sunday, Monday play that's daunting and into a Wednesday, Thursday Champions League game and still beat these clubs that only have to play 4 games a season, to be honest.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think Tottenham coming from behind, especially at
fantastic,
the Old Lady, at Juventus.
They said 2-0 down away.
They said that it hasn't been done since 2011 at Juventus.
Yeah, I mean, you should be done and dusted. And Tottenham, the scrappy players that they are, the scrappy system that they play,
mm-hmm,
and for whatever it's worth, I mean, minus Pochettino, what he says out loud of his mouth to the media, flat out do not agree with. I think he has loser mentality. But on the pitch, he understands the flow and the rate of pace of a game, and he's done this several times, gone in the back, made corrections, made very good substitutions, moved players around that are already on the pitch into different positions, into a different scheme, mm-hmm, and they grind out a result. And that's really all it takes in these two game format, where now you have 2 away goals.
Yeah.
Just go home and you could just theoretically pack it in.
Yeah. Two away goals is massive in the Champions League, especially with Tottenham's defense. You have to think that they could hold Juventus. You never know. I mean, Juventus is a tried team. You know what I mean? Like, they can get goals. I think that this game, this match is not over when they come back to face Tottenham. But two away goals, that being the tiebreaker in the Champions League at this stage, is massive. And good on Tottenham. Harry Kane scores. Eriksen scores. Dr. Pete and Baby go berserk. Terrific game for Tottenham.
Shaking baby syndrome, I'm sure.
Never. Liverpool also with a massive victory over Porto. My goodness, Ken. 5-0 as they
went
roll.
Berserk.
That was rock and roll football. Mane goes berserk in this one. A hat trick. And, of course, Salah scores. If you didn't get a chance to see it, Salah scores another Messi goal where the ball, like, he's taking these little baby, he juggles in the box. He, like, juggles around people.
He's untouchable right now.
Absolutely amazing. And you have to say another one of Liverpool's five-star offensive performances in a huge match. They're looking dangerous. Would really like to see Liverpool play City in a Champions League match. That's one of those offenses that I think would really, really cause problems for City, fitting up there with PSG, Real Madrid, whoever wins that leg, as Real Madrid is up 3-1, which is massive in that tie. Real Madrid, nothing else to play for, really. And obviously, having won the last two competitions, and I think three of the last four, Ken, is that right?
Sounds right, remember. Yeah. They've been dominating.
Yeah, that being the case, Real Madrid obviously tried and true, battle-tested, and would be a terrific matchup against Man City. Bayern smashes, Bayern beats Besiktas into the ground. Anything you want to add to that one? No? Okay, cool. There was a red card in this one. I think it ended up, was it like 5-0? I think it was 5-0. Yeah, 5-0.
To be expected.
Sevilla plays Man United. It'll probably, hopefully, be a 1-0 win for United, because that's how you get through in the Champions League. But, Ken, the most important match coming up, you'd have to say, is the Europa League clash with Arsenal.
I was waiting for you to get to something that mattered.
I am there, my friend. However, I can't pronounce the name of the team you're playing.
Couldn't tell you the club name, but
I can't pronounce it.
You know, it's a busy week for Arsenal playing in the prestigious cups that they're in right now. Europa now is my golden goose. I feel like that is our only ticket into Champions League.
And you're already up 3-0.
I think that we are through this round. But it is Arsenal, and anything can happen. In light of what's happening on Sunday, coming across a Manchester City that has been knocked out of the FA Cup, I think that it is in our best interest to play 7 to 8 players who the vast majority of fans will not know who they are. Rest up for Sunday, because not just the Carabao Cup, it will matter to beat Manchester City.
It will. It'll make a huge difference. And as you heard from James, it is a big game for them as well. It's not just a League Cup that you can poo-poo at. It makes a huge difference for them.
Yep.
And of course for Arsenal, as it would for Manchester United, Liverpool, Tottenham, etc. Anybody, really.
It's a cup.
It's a cup. Huge match. Going into the Prem weekend, not a lot to talk about. Besides Chelsea, Manchester United, another Sunday game. If you want to get your Sunday on, Ken,
I'm not trying to.
That's
who doesn't
like
getting their Sunday
game.
On.
Who doesn't like getting their Sunday on? It's at Old Trafford. Big match in terms of second place and fourth place. Chelsea coming off a nice match where they get some of their confidence back as they were dragging a little bit. Tottenham plays at Crystal Palace, a plucky Palace team. Liverpool at home against West Ham United. And, of course, Arsenal versus Manchester City in the Carabao Cup final.
What are you going to do Monday morning when you wake up to the potential table view that you have second to fourth? Liverpool is going to smash West Ham. You can guarantee that.
It does change my tone.
Now, I'll be curious, in a couple of weeks, 9 weeks' time, when your precious Man United doesn't finish in the most prestigious spot in the league, second place,
available.
That you've been talking about
available.
For so long, how much importance that second place holds, how much importance will it hold when your beloved Manchester United and Mal led club finish in fourth.
I mean, we could finish in fifth, Ken.
You could.
It's absolutely possible.
You really could.
I just want to hear you
say honestly, devastating. It would be devastating for me. It would, I mean, because I don't have the United States to watch in the World Cup. So the offseason for me, and I am an Orioles fan, so,
I don't watch baseball, so.
Yeah, but the Orioles, you know, usually that's one of the reasons I started following soccer so closely is because the Orioles were terrible for like 15 years. And the Orioles start in, right around now, actually, I mean, the pitchers and catchers are in. But you have like March and April, and you know,
I think
for a long time.
Half of people who are listening.
It's fine. It's fine. The Orioles are out of it by 2 months in, so you know, I had nothing to talk about or look at. And then if the Ravens were bad, I had nothing in the winter to look at. So the great thing about soccer is that it, you know, European soccer stretches 10 months plus 11 months, really, when you talk about the international cups. So. Ken, the bottom line is I would be absolutely devastated if they finished. If they finished in fifth, I would say that Mourinho has to be fired. I'm not kidding. I'm trying to put myself in that position. We're four points from fifth.
I cannot wait.
I have to say that. I would say that you go from being in second place for the entire year and drop all your eggs on the ground. Yeah, absolutely.
I can't wait. I mean, it is like the one thing that me as a lowly sixth place Arsenal has right now.
Distant sixth.
Is just hoping that everyone above me just falters. I mean, I need someone to.
That City finishes with 115 points because Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham, and Manchester United all lost their remaining games.
Jesus, yeah.
All right, Ken. Well, do you want to add anything to this? Cup preview? Go ahead.
It has nothing to do with the cup. Mm-hmm. I cannot. I'm trying to allow myself to forget that I heard what Pochettino said. And just when I forgot that he said that trophies don't matter, mm-hmm. He goes out and says it again this week. Stop worrying about the trophies. Don't concern yourself with trophies. Just focus on the way that Tottenham is playing. And that's not a quote. That's just the basis of what he said. I will be curious to hear his tone in June and July when he loses his precious Harry Kane because of the very thing he says doesn't matter, and that is a lack of trophies.
Yeah.
You are not going to be able to keep the world's elite players and the focus of the world fan base around your club without trophies. I mean, just look at Arsenal. You can argue that Arsene Wenger he's been detrimental to the world brand of Arsenal. But fans stop worrying about you when you're not winning titles. Players don't want to play for your club when you're not winning titles. Managers do not want to manage your club when you show no foresight in wanting to win a title. Stop saying that titles don't matter. It's disrespectful to the club and to the fans, especially to the fans of clubs who have gone the better part of 15 years without a meaningful trophy. They absolutely matter. You're delusional. I hope you lose Harry Kane for no other reason than the fact that I need you to realize that trophies matter.
Yeah, I'd have to say that Tottenham fans, it matters to Tottenham fans, and that Dr. Pete has come on here and said it himself, that this stretch where you have the best number 9 in the world and a great supporting cast behind him, I mean, to not win
it's
a
like
trophy,
a friendship where you're the only one giving. How long are you going to stay friends?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will end it on that note, Ken. Hopefully, for your sake, Arsenal can grab a trophy. But if they don't, they did win the FA Cup last year. They had the Community Shield this year. They got something that glitters. So you have to say that it's not like it's a drought. But they also have the Europa.
So we need to win the Europa League.
The most prestigious cup available right now, according to you.
That's true, though.
Yeah, true outside the Champions League. And let's hope that Manchester United it's 11 matches left again. It's 38 match season.
Oh my God, I can't even do math right now. I'm so stupid. No, 11, yeah.
We'll stay tired.
I'm tired. Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah, you're tired. 11 matches left at Manchester United with their 2-point lead over Liverpool in second place.
Let's hope they finish fifth.
Let's not hope they finish fifth. Let's hope they finish second.
Oh, it doesn't matter, like I've already told you, but we've already talked about that.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, James, City James, for coming on and giving us a long City pod that was overdue for a team that is, I mean, we haven't given them much besides garbage, really.
Hey, the well-known character around Baltimore named Chuck E. Cheese will be glad that we've given Manchester City their just desserts.
Word to Chuck E. That's true. We're going to get that text message. You know what I mean? I love text messages.
Love the pod!
love you, Chuck E. For James Lewis and Ken Lee and missing Tyler today, we hope to see Tyler next week. I am Tom Miller saying we hope everybody has an awesome week.